You're listening to Privacy and Security Insights, brought to you by Picasso.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast series brought to you by Picasso. We are in Series 2, Episode 4. And today, ladies and gents, I am delighted to introduce you to Lorraine Pinter. She is the Group Privacy Manager from Vodafone. Good day to you, Lorraine. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be joining this podcast. I've been listening to it myself, so I'm so glad that I get to join and have one myself.
And we are delighted to have you. And I can also tell the audience that Lorraine and the rest of the team won last year's Picasso Award category for Best Privacy Program. So congratulations for that. That's a massive
thank you very much.
Very exciting. Very exciting seeing you go on stage and receive your award. So brilliant stuff. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the Picasso Awards being held here in London on the 12th of November. So get your nominations in, submit the best team, the best individual, or lots of new categories this year. So please visit the website at www.picasso.org and follow the link from there to sign up and nominate yourselves or your team or your company or your product. So without further ado, we are looking today at navigating employee monitoring. Now, Lorraine, I mean, COVID happened, everything went sort of pear-shaped for a little bit of time. And, you know, really, what was the kind of underlying theme that you thought about this employee monitoring? Because coming out of COVID, that is very appropriate.
Yes, well, I would say exactly that. Now we're seeing that employers are expecting or requiring employees to come back into the office and work together. And so I thought this is the best topic because everyone in some shape or form, or most people at least, are being affected by this and are finding that they're being called in and then they're being monitored, but perhaps they don't know they're being monitored. So I thought this is a great, great topic.
Yeah, no, it is, because I remember, I'm not going to disclose my age, but I do remember a very long time ago being asked questions about CCTV. And back then, what are the constraints, you know? And it was a simple, well, you just have to put a notice board on the front of the building. So things have come a long, long way since then. So in your paper, which was brilliant, by the way, so thank you for that. And obviously the listeners, some of you have read that and clicked through to the podcast you're listening to today. What were the main legal frameworks governing, or what are the main legal frameworks governing employee monitoring that you mentioned in your article?
Yeah, so I mentioned the GDPR, the UK GDPR and the Data Protection Act, simply because we're in the UK. I guess those in mainland Europe that may listen will have some extra laws. And I mentioned those laws just because of where we are situated. And that's what we're working with at the moment. Mm-hmm. And as a privacy professional, we are all well acquainted with these laws and what they mean for us in monitoring. So I can just go through that really quickly. And essentially, we are going to be going through Article 5 and going through the principles, which are, you know, that is the we should be fair and transparent and lawful, have a lawful basis. We should have purpose for our processing, making sure also that we only collect what we need, so not more, and that we are trying to keep it as, I guess, correct as possible. We are storing it appropriately and securely and have good retention periods. And overall, we're accountable for the data that we are collecting, storing and processing. So that's, I guess, a quick overview, and because as data privacy professionals will know this.
Yeah, well, the good news is many of our listeners, over 10,000 of them, actually don't work in privacy on a day-to-day, unlike us. So that's the great thing. So you are educating many of us. So that's thank you for that. Fair.
In terms of the key considerations that an employer should be taken into account in monitoring, it is essentially, as I've mentioned under Article 5, if you are considering your method of transparency, you're making sure that you're clearly explaining to your employee how and when you're collecting data so that they're aware. If you are also being transparent through these policies and processes, you will also be ensuring that you explain your purpose so the employee can understand why they're collecting this data. And it's always really helpful for an employee to understand why you're collecting this data, and it's not just for the sake of it. And you want to make sure that you don't collect more. You don't want your employee to think that you are, I guess, stalking them within the workplace, but essentially they want privacy. So you want to make sure that you collect and what you need and not more. And so taking into consideration these principles, you make sure that it's fair and also it's clear and it's transparent to your employee.
Yes. Our next question is, the next question is around, can you give an example of an organization that's faced enforcement action due to non-compliance with this?
Yes. So in my essay, I provided two examples. I provided one from the ICO, which I think is always really helpful for us in the UK, because that's going to have more precedent on us. And that was the Serco Leisure. I wouldn't say case per se, because it was just an order. I'll say case just for just to make it easier to explain. Mm-hmm. And so with Serco Leisure, they were given an order by the ICO to stop their processing because they were using facial recognition technology and fingerprint to monitor their employee attendance. And then they would use that, I guess, to pay their staff. However, the ICO found that there was an imbalance of power between Serco and their employees, and that the employees were unlikely to be able to say no to that processing. And also, it was just disproportionate. So there wasn't an alternative processing. There wasn't another option for the employees to choose. So the ICO said that they had to stop because this was just, it wasn't according to privacy rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, we have an extreme processing, which is, I would say, taking that step further than Serco, which was the Amazon French Logistique, who were fined 32 million by CNIL, so the French regulator. And they actually were, I guess, were quite extreme with their processing, and that they had given their employees these scanners to take with them around the warehouse, and it would gather real time data on their activities. So if they took a break, if they went to the loo, it really monitored their productivity. And Amazon had said that they were using this to plan their work or to just see how people were working.
Wow. Yeah.
However, it was found that actually they failed to ensure that they had a lawful basis. So there wasn't a proper lawful basis for this processing. They hadn't ensured that they hadn't maintained the data securely. They were also collecting more data than was necessary for the purpose, and they were not transparent. So they hadn't told, there wasn't enough information given to employees.
Yeah, communication. That this sort of,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so even though that was a French case, it's still quite relevant for us because it is showing us how HR may misuse data and monitor staff at the same time. And though that law may not have, that case may not have precedent on us, it's still going to be very relevant for us to consider how we monitor our employees in this country.
And I mean, that leads me nicely onto the next question about the potential drawbacks then, because surely then we just pull up the drawbridge and we don't monitor our employees. So what are those drawbacks? You've alluded to a couple of them, but from an employee's perspective.
So one drawback is it's mistrust. So for example, in Amazon case, there was no transparency, or at least not sufficient transparency. If employees don't know what you're doing and you're not telling them that you're monitoring them in this way, they won't trust their employer, and it just makes the working environment uncomfortable. It could ruin the environment for the employee. It could decrease job satisfaction, which isn't great, and it could also decrease morale, which again just means that people will not be as productive if we're making them feel uncomfortable in their workplace and making them feel as though they're always being watched. It's never comfortable to always feel like you're being watched.
No, absolutely. It's a kind of spooky big brother
Exactly.
Georgia. Yeah, Orwell, 1984 kind of springs to mind. And so, I mean, this is great. And thank you so much. What would you say, you know, why is it important then for employers to involve, you know, people like yourselves, their in-house counsel, is, you know, and when implementing these technologies, why is it important for them to engage early on?
Yeah, it's important to engage early on because within privacy, we would do an assessment and we would ensure that, you know, there is the transparency happening, there is data minimization. We would liaise with security and make sure there's appropriate security. So we would go through all the legal requirements under privacy law and making sure we're complying that way. But also it's important to engage with the employment lawyer because there is going to be some employment law regulation which needs to also be applied. So for example, the monitoring could not just be for employees within the office, it could be truck drivers, and there's lots of other types of highly regulated areas that will need an employment lawyer to provide their input as well. And by making sure you've got privacy and other employment law, I guess combined, you're making sure that you've got the good balance, you're compliant with everything, and you're lawful, but also you've got happy staff, hopefully happy staff.
No, I think the word you used was balance. I think also something that came through in your article, you know, about this sort of ethical considerations, you know, and obviously lots and lots of drawbacks. So what you seem to be saying is, you know, the kind of how much monitoring, for what purpose, to be clear and transparent, and then to communicate is kind of what I'm sensing from both what you've told me and the article. How does really the law help that? You know, what does GDPR do for that, for us as employees? What's the protection there? I mean, if I feel like, for example, I'm being monitored or heavily monitored, you know, CCTVs, how does it afford us that sort of balance? How do we know it's been balanced, I suppose, as employees? I'm looking at it from our perspective now.
Yes, of course. So I guess the balance that the law, GDPR, whether UK GDPR data protection, the balance that it provides is that it makes sure that you are looking at all of these items that I've mentioned. And Article 5 is perfect in making sure that you do, because all of those principles in there cover each of these areas. And if you comply with each of these areas, in my opinion, and I guess the lawmaker's opinion, you're going to get the right balance. Because you're going to get the right lawful basis, whether you're going to rely on legal obligation or your contract or legitimate interest, you're going to get the lawful basis there, and then you're going to get transparency there, and that's going to give a good balance. So you've chosen what you're going to rely on, you've then made sure that it's communicated to the employees, but you also need to make sure that it's fair. And so you're going to balance the way that you collect data or process data, make sure that it's fair. And so just going through the law, the GDPR, just Article 5, I think is really helpful, because you get a good balance. You make sure that you're monitoring, it's open, it's clear, and it's, I guess, doing away with the mistrust. It's trying to make sure that there's openness, but also the employer is being responsible. They're taking accountability by going through all of those actions, those principles, and making sure that they comply with everything. I would say that is the benefit of, I guess, complying with the GDPR, with the law, because it helps find that balance and be transparent to your employee and monitor in a way that is not going to cause mistrust or, I guess, decrease morale, as I said, or job satisfaction.
I want to thank Lorraine again and Group Privacy Manager at Vodafone for all of her thoughts and, well, her short essay. Remember, ladies and gents, if you've got something you want to talk about and you've got an article, then what better way to utilize Picasso and the podcast series? We regularly put items out, so feel free to write to us and share something on your mind or something that you're seeing, and then we can arrange a podcast interview. So on behalf of Picasso, my name's Steve Wright. In fact, I didn't introduce myself at the beginning, Lorraine. Isn't that poor?
We all yeah. know who you are, luckily.
Yeah, I know. But I just want to thank you and really do appreciate your time today and look forward to seeing you at the awards this year on the 12th of November.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And this is Steve Wright signing off on behalf of the Picasso podcast series. Thank you for listening. Please write to us, share the pod, give us feedback. We'd love to hear and learn from you. So please feel free to do that when you get time. Thank you very much.